Alrighty guys, welcome to the first official episode of Expanding Your Horizons, and I'm with a very special guest here, my brother, Colton Rusinko. I've known him since I came out the womb, obviously, and yeah, so welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
So me and Colton have been through a lot together, actually. Our backstory, pretty much, that's the first thing that we're going to get to, is like our come up or how we were raised when we were little. So what's like, what do you think about how we were raised? Like, what was, I don't know, like, what do you think?
I mean, if you're just talking about like parent wise, I think that our mom definitely did a good job. I think our dad did a good job in some departments. Some departments, not so much. Mom has her flaws too. Everybody does.
Yeah, I think, okay, well, I've always sided with, well, I really didn't side with anyone until recently, like when I got older, because like I started to realize a lot of different things. Because, you know, like when you're little, you're just blinded pretty much. Like you're not really, like you don't see the world for what it actually is.
No, you don't.
You know, and then like our dad, he was really just like, he was a fake person, you know.
Manipulative.
Yeah, very, very manipulative. And I feel like he put on a front when we were little. Like, for instance, before I moved, you know, he told me if you need anything, anybody to call, you can just call me, you know. If you need anything, you can just talk to me. Ask me. When would you ever go to dad for anything?
I mean, I guess I have. See, I also have a, I guess I can counter you here. Because you left. You know, you went to Alabama and, you know, started your life here, made friends here. And you kind of shacked with mom. Whereas, you know, I chose to stay. I was in high school. You know, I had my first boyfriend that at the time I thought was everything, and had my best friends there, and finally, you know, kind of got over being bullied, like, all the fucking time. So I decided I was going to stay there with dad, and I guess now that I'm older and as much as me and dad has been through, which I could spend the entire podcast talking about, but we're not going to do that. I don't know. I think that I've kind of grown to the point where I've seen dad at his lowest in person, and I've seen dad pick it up from there and be a better person. You know, his flaws are still obviously there, but for me, he's been more supportive. I think for you,
different. Yeah, because I only saw the bad side of dad really when I was there, because he was still kind of like, he was very like immature for his age when we were kids.
I mean, and he still got that in there.
Yeah, he
that from your last visit.
Yeah, yeah. but he's, I feel like he's definitely changing, but I feel like he's leaving behind, like, his other kids.
I mean,
for his new family, you know?
Yeah, he's definitely pretty wrapped up in Tiffany, Zachary, and Killian.
Which are, like, the step family. Well, Killian and Zachary are my half-brothers. But Tiffany is like my stepmom and that other side of the family, just so you guys know.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I also have to, I guess, and I know, you know, we're not much bigger. Well, we're not much different in our age, but there is a difference. You know, I've graduated college. I have a career. You know, you just graduated high school. And I've been in a really long, serious relationship. I've seen a lot of shit back home when I was in high school. I had to grow up really fucking fast. So I'm kind of, I see things differently than you, which is, you know, obvious. But, you know, I also see, like, I try to think of it in the perspective that, you know, Killian and Zachary are really little, and they need dad to be there all the time, you know? Like, they have, you know, and I want dad to be there all the time for them. And I hope that dad, you know, fathers a bit differently with them than he did with us.
Yeah, definitely.
I feel like Killian and Zachary are almost like a second opportunity. yeah. to do right yeah. what he did not do right the first time.
I feel like that's like God
in all aspects.
It's like God giving him another chance, being like, "Hey, yeah. don't fuck up this chance, buddy."
Yeah, yeah, and I don't think he's completely dropped us off. I think Dad still has trouble reaching out because Dad has underlying guilt, which that's more of an issue between you and him than me and him at this point, but. I think Dad attended my graduation. He didn't attend yours. And yeah. I think that kind of hit me hard, and that wasn't even me, so.
Yeah, and he didn't even call me after the graduation. I didn't know if I told you that or not.
I wasn't aware, but.
Yeah, but yeah.
It doesn't surprise me either. But,
it didn't bother me because, I had Johnny, which is my stepdad, and then I had my mom there and everyone else. So, it really didn't matter. So, and I got my friends, so that was big. And, I didn't let that ruin the graduation. So.
Yeah, and that's important.
Because it's about me. I don't give a fuck about anyone else.
Yeah, so. Sure. That's what graduation's for. So, but I guess, getting back to the main point, as far as how they raise us, I think that,
I feel like nobody's pretty perfect, good humans. Pretty good
but
humans.
We, as children, learned from our parents' mistakes versus where some people don't, they repeat.
Yeah, they fall back into it.
They fall back into the patterns they learned from, whereas we were raised intelligently enough from our parents to realize that what they do is not perfect, and everything they do is not perfect, and everything we do and what we will do in the future is not going to be perfect. But we also know that some of the mistakes they've made we're damn sure not going to repeat.
Yeah.
So.
All right, actually, you brought up something about a relationship, which...
Yeah.
Well, now I've actually been in a pretty long relationship. I was in a relationship for a year and, 4 months. It, recently just ended, a month ago or some shit. Like, what was the hardest part about the breakup? Like, what was so hard about it? Because you actually broke up with your boyfriend.
No, actually, he.
Oh, he.
Me.
Oh, he broke up with you. Okay.
You would think that it would be the other way around.
Yeah, considering the
considering he's cheated on me 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
But I guess the hardest part, especially because even though you and Morgan were together a year and 4 months, which that's no short period to be with someone by any means, but me and Lewis together for 4.5 years.
Yeah, yeah, and y'all experienced a lot together.
Yeah.
Like
growing
y'all
up
went,
and
went
everything.
Seeing family together,
living together,
everything. Yeah,
with Dad when he was going through his shit, and then moving away to try to fix things in college and be adults and pay bills, and I guess. It was letting go. You've been with someone that long. You think of all of the high moments and how great it was and what you wished it would have remained. But when it gets to that point where you're not happy anymore, it hurts. And I have a friend, going through the same thing now.
Yeah.
And she's been with him for 6 years, but it hurts. That's the hardest part is letting go and just kind of moving forward. You're always going to love them. There's always going to be a piece that remembers that. And you're not going to forget it. You're going to remember the parts of the relationship you liked and the parts you didn't like. And that's something to take forward. Now that I've been single for a couple years, I know when I do choose to be with someone again, I know what to look for and what not to look for and what I like and what I don't like. And I guess that's something I could take away from it.
Yeah, see, like me, it's it was really hard because you know that our family is big on the depression side.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that happens in our life, it just triggers. It puts us back in the depressive state.
It's pretty much consuming for a man.
Yeah. So it's just... So you start to think about shit. But what helped me is I just blocked her off everything. Like I recently blocked her off text. Because I was supposed to go pick up some shit from our house. But I was like, you know what? Just throw it away. I don't even want to be put in that place because I know, I can easily be put back into those emotions that I had for her. So it's like, I don't want to even take that chance to get put back in that place. So I just blocked her off everything. And there's part of me that's like, because I actually added her back on Snapchat today because I blocked her and then I unblocked her and then she added me. So I was like, and she's added me for a couple weeks now, and I was like, all right, I guess I'll fucking accept it. So I actually accepted it, and I viewed her story, and I was just like, why the fuck did I accept it? Like, why did I accept this? Yeah, so I just reblocked her. I was like, no, yeah, I'm done.
You're doing yourself a disservice. And like, that's again, like, even though you deal with that way, like, me and Lewis, I think initially, if we're going to talk about my relationship, initially, me and Lewis, you know, the first time he cheated, you know, every time he cheated, I was here in Alabama visiting every time.
Yeah.
And, every time it was a text message or an email. I mean, what the fuck email somebody that you're breaking up with them? I mean, how fucking awful.
That's crazy.
But, you know, I mean, and every time I was calling him, begging him to stay, it doesn't make sense.
But I feel like that's just the people who we are.
Because we put the whole thing on the line, you know. All our anger, love, emotion, everything is on the table for that person.
Yeah.
You know, you're the one that I want to be with.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas Lewis was obviously not that person. Lewis seeked outside attention. And obviously, you know, there's something maybe I wasn't giving him. I don't know. But there was obviously shit he wasn't giving me. So I guess at a point at the end of it all, when it all ended, I was done with it. You know, when he broke up that last time and said he didn't cheat, but I know he did, you know, it was like a relief. I was like, thank God, because I loved him so much that I couldn't end it. Even though I knew he was just killing me. I couldn't do it. Like, I couldn't walk away.
And that's what I've been thinking about recently is like humans crave like other humans. Like, some people crave humans so much. Like, we will even crave like social interaction more than fucking food and water, because it can just kill us if we're cut off from somebody that we actually love.
You would rather die starving with someone by your side than live alone for the rest of your life.
Yeah, like, it's a human, crazy to me,
but that's how it's crazy are. That's why we're different than every other species out there, you know, other than a select few.
Yeah, but going on your boyfriend, so when was it that you first realized that you were actually gay?
I mean, it's hard to say. I mean...
Because, I mean, I knew since you were, like, seeing baby pictures, I was like, yeah, this dude's gay.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, I look back at certain home videos. I remember I saw a home video that Dad found in a VHR tape years ago, and just I was dancing in the living room in my diaper to some song. It was pretty gay, you know what I mean? And that's, you know, I mean, I was very flamboyant in the way I moved, danced, and everything. And I watched that, and I'm just like, it's stuff like that I watch it, and I'm thinking, who the fuck thinks that I chose to be this way? Because you know firsthand how much I went through.
Oh, yeah.
From kindergarten forward.
No, I mean, just so the listeners know, my brother went through so much bullying in school, like, my mom pulled both of us out of school to be homeschooled. And, like, to be honest, I don't even think that helped, because that just cut us... It cut us off from social interaction and how to develop with other peers. But, like, he never had a chance to, like... to just feel, like, happiness in, like, middle school or elementary school. Like, have joy. Because he always got picked on for being different. And now, what's weird, because now it's totally different. It's totally different. Like, if someone's gay in school, no one gives a fuck. Everyone's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, and that's just, like,
a sign of the times. I think it's because, like, the social media thing.
Yeah, it's a sign of the times. But, you know, I also, like, so, backstory for the viewers, quote-unquote, or listeners, since it's a podcast. In kindergarten, I mean, from the get-go, I mean, I remember the very first insult I ever got. I mean, people, you'll think I'm crazy to remember something from kindergarten. But I do remember a kid asking me in school, why do you talk like a girl? And I mean, even though that's just such a simple sentence, it was so painful.
Yeah.
Because it's like everyone in the class looked at me at that moment when they heard that and thought, yeah, he does talk like a girl. Yeah. He's weird. Damn. You know, and from that moment, you know, we were in West Palm Beach at the time. From that moment until we left that school to Okeechobee, every kid thought me that way, all the way up to fifth grade. Every kid I was a... You know, obviously, as you got older into second, third, fourth grade, kids start learning more vernacular and cussing and slurs. And, you know, I remember early as third or fourth grade.
Physical.
And I remember as early as third or fourth grade, I was being called a faggot and you're gay and ew, you're disgusting, you're gay, blah, blah. And at the time, you know, adamant, I'm not gay, I'm not gay, blah, blah, because you don't want to be. You don't want to be gay. Like, who wants to be gay and go through that shit?
Yeah.
No straight person has to go through that for naturally liking the other sex. You know, I couldn't... People can think what they want, but I never in my life would have chose to be gay and go through all the hardship I've had to go through.
Yeah.
I'm a better person and stronger person for it, but it, I mean, at the time, I still, if I could go back, I wonder what it would have been like to grow up like everybody else.
Yeah.
Just be straight and that not be a topic of my life as being gay.
Yeah.
But it is, and that's how I was. And I think, you know, back to your first question, when I realized, I remember in second grade was probably the earliest moment that I can remember. There was a kid in my class, and I looked at him, and I thought, he's kind of cute. And then I thought about what I thought in my head, and I'm like, mm-mm, like, that's, why am I like, there's no way.
No. Well, it's because, like, we're raised as men to not, like, if men show their emotions, it's, like, considered just feminine, period.
Yeah, you're so demasculinized.
So if we show our emotions, period, in any sort of way, it's just, oh, that's not manly, you know?
Yeah, you gotta suck it up.
And yeah, I gotta suck it up, your keep tears it all inside, and that's why people commit suicide. That's why the suicide rate
is humongous. And you know, men have the highest rate of suicide.
Exactly.
I know that. I'm a nurse.
Which isn't talked about enough, in my opinion. Which I've contemplated suicide so many times, and recently a lot, but then I think about all the great shit in my life, and I'm like, you know what? It's gonna be lit.
It's going to be all right.
It's going to be lit if I stay alive. Because if Steven dies, this earth ain't lit no more. You know what I'm saying? Anyways.
Well, and think of it this way. You know, back to when you talked about us being homeschooled. Why did we get homeschooled in the first place? Because I attempted suicide.
Yeah.
In, what, sixth grade?
Yep.
We moved.
And wait, hold on. As a brother, man, that killed me. Because you see your older brother trying to commit suicide. And that person you look up to and you're like, man, he's like my day one. If I need anything, I go to him. But he had nobody to go to. So I'm like, damn, did I fail as a brother? Did I not do my job? And then I'm here all alone at home while he's at the mental, like, hospital or whatever. And I'm like, damn, like, where's my brother? When is he coming home? Like, what can I do to get him back here sooner? But, you know, you can't do anything. You just got to let it just run its course. And it's just, it really affected me as a kid at the time because it really opened my eyes to suicide at a very young age. I feel like it was too young, but I mean, yeah, it's just, it's crazy.
And when you get that, I mean, I can speak from experience. When you get to that point, it's done. It's a done deal. I remember, I can remember every detail of the day. I'd been picked on. We moved from West Palm Beach, got picked on all the way from K to 5th. I was in Miss Shirk's class in 5th grade in Green Acres.
Yeah, I remember
moved
that.
From there to North Elementary at the very tail end of 5th grade, and I got picked on instantly. Got to a new class, never knew these kids, in a good old country town, Okeechobee. fucking pigsty. And just got, I mean, God, you're so girly, that's gross, blah, 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 everything out of the book. Same shit I thought I was going to get away from. Realized quickly that everyone is not different everywhere. It's the same homophobic, racist motherfuckers everywhere.
Yeah.
And I got picked on there. Well, then I had a choice. You know, you remember in Okeechobee, it's you go to North, then you went to Yearling for middle school. If you went to Central for elementary, you went to Osceola for middle school.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, instead of going to Yearling, because I went to North, I was like, well, instead of going to Yearling, I'm going to go to Osceola and flip schools and see if the kids that went to Central are any better.
Yeah,
and plus we were friends with Nick and Patsy and all that, so I wanted to go to them. Yeah, I wanted to go there because of them. So I was like, well, I'm going to go to Osceola. Well, I remember it was very early in the year, maybe a month maximum that I was in class, and it was the worst. That was the worst bullying I think I ever experienced in my life.
Yeah, and I think that was the year. No, I think it was it? No, yeah, that was the year that we got pulled out.
Yeah, that was sixth grade.
Yeah,
my sixth grade year. And it was every day. I mean, just got things thrown at me in class, like paper planes with faggot written in them. I mean, anything. You think the shit you see in movies, it really happens. And it just was killing me. I mean, every day I just came home and I cried. I thought, like, I don't want to be this way. I want to die. I'm tired of this. But I never did it. You know, I always got up next day, blah, blah. Well, I went to the bus stop one day. I'll never forget this. We were with Emily Bunting and her dick brother. And, me, of course. And we were waiting for the bus stop. You know, it was right at the corner of our house. So I walk out there, and I went out there early so I could hang out with Emily because we were good friends. And her brother was there, and he was grilling me about, you know, why are you gay? You walk so gay, blah, blah, blah. I mean, why? Like, why? To me, I look back on that, and I'm like, what the fuck are you even asking me that for? Like, why does it affect your life at all?
Like, why the fuck do you care?
Exactly. You shouldn't, you old country faggot. So anyway, yeah. I mean, I can say that I'm gay. So
yeah.
He's just going on and on and on, and there was a point, it was like the snap of a finger. Trigger, I just almost went blank in the face. I put my book bag down at the end of the driveway, and I kept walking, and Emily was like, where are you going? Where are you going? And I didn't say anything. I didn't say a damn word. I was done. And I got all the way down to Dan's Meat Market, almost to the highway area. And you know as much as I do, when Mom left for work, she never came home till work was over. She never forgot anything. And Mom that day turned a corner. As I got right to the end of the street, Mom turned a corner, and I looked, and I don't know, I just saw Mom's face, and it was like, back to reality. And I stopped, and I sat down on the sidewalk, and I fucking lost my shit. I just started bawling, blah, blah. Mom pulled over, and she's like, what's going on? And I was like, I was going to walk out in front of the car. I was like, I can't do this. I was like, he's picking on me at the bus stop. They pick at me at school. I can't do this shit. And so, Mom started crying, took me home, put me inside. I was a disaster, and you know, then she went out there and threw the garbage can at Cody or whatever his fucking name was.
Wait, she threw garbage can at him?
She cussed at him and yelled. I watched her outside the window while I was crying, Mom went out there and she's like, you ever fucking with my kid? And boom, she was throwing a garbage can at him. And
you know what's funny though, it's like she was super nice after that happened.
He was the nicest person
on
earth.
He was the coolest dude. Yeah, he was cool after
that. Mom was going to fucking kill him.
Yeah.
So, and Mom was also, remember, Mom and his mom grew up together.
Small world. Yeah, that's crazy. Small world, yeah.
So, when she told his mama, his ass got reamed. Mm. So, but we got pulled. They Baker acted me. That was awful. I realized I was a lot less crazy than other people. And got out. And came home, and they wanted me to be homeschooled for a year. And then I went back 7th and 8th grade, and those years were no fucking better. Mr. Burke, I'll never forget that guy. And just got picked on, shoved against a wall. Same shit, same deal. But as I got older, I would say 10th grade, the episodes became a lot fewer. You know, high school people are more clicky. They kind of just pay attention to their own shit. They don't really care. Yeah. Occasionally, I got picked on. I guess the worst story from high school, this is something you'd see out of a movie too, and is when I went into the lunch line. I was ahead of my friends because they were late coming to lunch. So I was in line, got my food, and we always sat at the same table. Everyone knew where we sat because you know in high school everyone sits in the same fucking spots every day.
Yeah.
So we went and set out this outside table in the open outside area where everyone ate in the courtyard, and I was the only one at the table. And I'll never forget this. I was the most embarrassing thing of high school, and I walk out to the table and I sit down, and everyone in the courtyard busts out laughing. Everybody, even some people that I knew that I thought were my friends, were laughing.
Yeah.
And I'm looking up like, damn, is someone fighting? Like, somebody do something funny? And I look down, and there's fucking chalk with an arrow to my table. And it just said, it's a faggot sitting at the table. And I'll never forget that. And everyone was laughing. Mm. And,
Yeah.
I just put my head down and I cried. I didn't want to even get up and walk away.
Yeah.
So, anyway, my friends came out there and, you know, they were all pissed off and yelling at people, like, shut the fuck up, blah, blah. But then it kind of embarrassed me more because they were girls. You know, and I was like, damn, like, now everyone's really going to make fun of me because now girls are sticking up for me. And I went to the dean's office, and dad...
But, what does that accomplish?
Though? Nothing. And, I will give the school credit. They really did. The dean at the time, I can't remember his name, but he was really pissed. That kid got suspended for, like, a week. And, you know, he had to write me an apology letter. His parents made him write me a letter and all that. But, I mean, that shit don't matter to me because he's a prick.
And yeah, I mean, but everyone, like, remembers that, though.
Yeah, you know? But, I mean, you know, and I will never forget it, you know. Yeah. And I get emotional talking about it, but I know I'm a stronger person for it because no one else had to endure shit like that.
Yeah.
You know, and getting to the root of the topic, all because, what, I like guys?
Like, yeah, like, what the fuck does that even affect anyone?
It doesn't,
you know,
you could be my fucking neighbor, and whoever I sleep with at night and who I decide to love has no effect on you and your perfect little white marriage and your baby and your SUV Escalade and you're a lawyer and she's a nurse practitioner and you're perfect. You know, fuck you, and I'm gay right next door smoking weed and
exactly
doing my own shit.
That's the way to do it. That's the way to do it. But so how does being gay now, like, that you're, like, older and, like, people don't really give a fuck?
Yeah, it's a lot different. It's easier.
And, like, have you experienced anything in Alabama? Like, I know, like, you haven't really lived here that long, but, like, have you experienced anything weird, like, going out with, like, our grandma? Like, has anyone, like, given you looks or, like...
Yeah, I mean, a couple times.
Because people around here don't know how to not stare at people.
No, they don't.
Because in Florida, if you stare at people, they're going to say something.
They're going to say something right back
to you. Or fight you or something.
Yeah, something. But I guess the only time I can really, like, sit here and say for sure I know someone was, like, looking at me because they thought I was gay or, you know, they thought something that they want to make fun of was when we went to Mac and Jerry's, me and Mama, and we were sitting at, you know, the far table close up or whatever, the booth. Yeah. And these guys were sitting in the very back booth, two young kids and their dad. The dad was facing the restrooms and they were facing us.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was facing them. And I kept seeing the kids, like, look up at me and they were, like, laughing when I would talk. It's like they were I guess they're laughing at my voice or whatever. And I kind of just knew. The old me probably would have got real upset and teary-eyed or whatever and just been like, I want to leave. That me was just, like, staring right back at them.
Like, yeah, no, like, fuck those. He was like, how much do you make a year considering in Alabama, what, like, 40 grand a year?
I'm literally 40 million, like, light years ahead of you.
Yeah, like, what are you doing, kid?
like no, you're working at your dad's fucking wood shop. Go suck a dick. Yeah. You know, like, you know, I mean, no. I now that I'm older, I guess it's also, like, I've kind of been hardened through my experiences, so they don't even bother me. I'm just kind of like, get the hell out. I mean, some things will always get to you, you know, but it's a lot easier now that I'm older and I've experienced, I guess you could say, with that kind of stuff. It just kind of bounces off the shoulder.
Yeah. So, like, so being gay in Alabama might be hard for some people, but being gay in a place like Colorado, like you visited.
Yeah.
Which you're actually moving to in, like, 2 weeks, and I'm going to have to help you, which, fuck, I hope I really don't want to, but, you know, I'm your brother, so.
You ain't got a choice.
Yeah, but, so being gay there, that's going to be 10 times easier because there's many different people there.
I mean, when I went to Colorado in May, you know, there's all kinds of fucking people out. I mean, there's people smoking, you know, vape, weed. We all know it's weed, but it's, you know, you're not supposed to smoke in public, I assume.
But so no one really gives a fuck.
They all vape weed instead.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone's just smoking, running everywhere. There's just so many vegan restaurants, which is awesome for me, you know.
A vegan gay dude.
Yeah.
Going to Colorado.
How fucking liberal can you get? So, you know, fucking goddamn meat-eating faggot, you know that?
Yeah, like, you know.
Yeah, but people don't talk like they're from the fucking boondocks up there, so.
Yeah, but,
No, it was really nice. I think it'll be a good change for me. I think that it'll give me a lot more options as far as, like, you know, I mean, if I ever want to get in a relationship, being in a more advanced, progressive area will benefit me in that, too. But I think it'll just benefit me in comfort and, you know, walking the streets and not have everyone look at me like I'm a fucking sinner.
Yeah, like, when I went to L.A., which, you know, I feel like I talk about LA so much because that's, like, the only fucking interesting thing that's happened in my life. But, like, when I went to LA, I could literally be vlogging down the road and nobody would give a fuck. No one would look at you. No one cares. Like, I was smoking weed walking down the street out of the pen. No one cared because there was someone else on the other side smoking a blunt. Yeah, you know, like, no one cares. Because there's so many people and they're doing so much shit. It's like, why would I waste my time caring about someone else?
Yeah.
So, but, so what day are you moving to Colorado?
Well, my last day at work's next Saturday, the 28th. So I want to leave no later, me personally, than that Wednesday afterwards. I think it's like the first of the month.
So
me personally, that's when I want to move.
I want to get into your hobbies. So you game a lot. You play League of Legends like 24/7.
All the time.
If any of the listeners, if any of the listeners don't know what League of Legends is, it's a fucking big ass game. Get your head out of a.
Yeah, you don't. You're not into gaming if you haven't at least heard of that game.
Yeah, so Colin,
the biggest MMO for like since its release almost. Like, yeah, it's been ridiculous.
So Colin, he's been playing this game since fucking forever.
At least, like, at least 5 years. Probably. Yeah,
he's pretty good at it. You know, but yeah. So the internet speeds here.
Oh.
They're fucking terrible. Yeah. They're terrible.
Alabama sucks dick, dude. I can't even play games here. I mean, when you're gone and Mom and Johnny are gone, yeah, I can play some League.
No, when I'm in my room, my phone disconnects from the internet because it can't reach. It can't reach my room when I'm laying in bed. But when I'm by my computer, which is like 2 feet away from my bed, it can reach my phone.
Yeah, it's awful. It's miserable. I can play the Xbox because, you know, the console doesn't usually lag as much as the computer.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't demand as much, I don't think. I don't know. But definitely... my League skills have probably dwindled since I moved to this shithole because I can't play. So
But
I love that game.
Yeah. So what do you think? Like esports is so big. Like even when I first started to watch, you know, like the esports and shit, when I played some CS:GO back, like what, like 3 years ago was when I first started. Like 4 years ago. I was pretty good at that, but then I stopped because, you know, I have ADHD. I can't stick with shit in my life. But, like, esports was, like, just getting big with, like, CS:GO then, and, like, League of Legends was barely getting big.
Yeah, and they had a good following, but it wasn't anything you ever heard about a lot.
Yeah, but, like, now it's, like, multi-million-dollar, like...
It's franchised in North America.
Like, Shaquille O'Neal, I think, owns a team now.
They're, you know, Rick Fox owns Echo Fox.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
I didn't know that Rick Fox
had money. Yeah, he's very invested in esports. And, you know, I've watched esports since I started playing the game 4 or 5 years ago. So, I mean, I've been watching it, and I've been watching it grow as well. This year it's kind of dwindled in viewership, but I also don't think people consider VODs. Like, everyone wants to play the game, and you want to just watch your favorite team. Like, most people don't want to watch every League game. I'm a little different. I like to watch the Korean League and Chinese League. I watch them all. You know, I'm not big on other esport games, but League is definitely my passion as far as gaming goes. And, like, NA just franchised this year. EU... for Europe is franchising, what I understand, next year.
So they're
following suit. What that implicates for the health of the Pro League, I question. But we'll see. Because, you know, I kind of think, you know, just like with professional sports, franchising also leads to laziness. You know, you get all this money, you don't really worry about your spot because you got
because they're not competing for money. They're not competing for money, they're competing for contracts.
Yeah, whereas years prior, you know I love TSM Bjergsen. You know, Bjergsen didn't perform 3 years, 2 years ago, a year ago, when franchising wasn't even there. Your ass is getting replaced.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're going to have someone imported. So you got to play good. You got to be your top form, like, or teams are going to notice and you're going to get subbed in or you're going to get traded or whatever. Nowadays, you know, it still happens. It just happened to pretty big player Meteos. He got traded unexpectedly.
Where?
To FlyQuest, which he's not even on the starting roster. But
oh,
he
shit.
Was on the second place team.
He was like the top guy in Cloud9 back three years ago.
Yeah, he was a big thing back then. But he's still a really good jungler, and it's like, you know, it's almost like politics now.
Yeah.
Which I don't like. I don't like that. That's why I still like the Korean and Chinese leagues the most.
Because it's just cutthroat.
There.
Yeah. Like who's better? Not who's more like.
Yeah, it's not
popular.
Yeah, it's
really.
Not like, oh, you know, I got a contract, so even if they bench me on the.
It's not about selling. It's about winning.
Yeah, exactly. I want North America to not be a shit region like they've been since League's conception. With franchising, I actually think it'll never happen now because I just don't think that, I think North American players are pretty fucking spoiled for being the worst region historically ever.
Yeah, in that's League of crazy. Legends. Like they make so much money, but yet they're the shittiest players.
Yeah, like Korea, has been dominating for years. This year, in particular, which it will continue to trend this way. Like I said, I watch a shit ton of League. The LPL, which is the Chinese region, you know, there's just so many fucking people in China that the talent is immense. Mm. You know, in Asian culture, they love video games.
Yeah, like, they don't stop.
And they're machines. So RNG, which is the Chinese team, is number one. They won their finals. They won MSI. Mm. They've won Rift Rivals.
So MSI, they're just killing everyone.
They're killing everybody. And they're right now, definitively, the easiest, best team in the world. And if they win the world finals this year, they will be the first team ever to ever win everything. They won it all in 1 year. They took every championship, every trophy, and I want them to do it because, like, Korea, SKT, if anyone ever watches League, SKT has dominated for fucking years.
Yeah, no, they've always got worlds.
They always dominate, and they're actually like at the bottom of the LCK right now, near the bottom, lower middle pack. Yeah, they're not good.
Holy shit.
And
they took
a dump. They're getting better slowly, but they won't even touch the top teams in the LCK, and the top teams in the LCK get manhandled by RNG in China.
Yeah.
So it just goes to show that China is going to slowly but surely take over League of Legends esports, and I truly believe that only Europe and LCK will ever be able to challenge them. And I don't know. I just don't see how North America, unless they get a full team of Koreans, which is against the LOL esports, is a ever gonna happen. So yeah. I just don't see how NA is ever gonna grow past other regions.
So so let's go to a different topic. So school and nursing, do you like regret anything about nursing? Like, do you wish you would have chose like a different like career path? Like, do you ever question, like, while at work, I know you probably do.
Oh yeah.
I feel like everyone questions their fucking job.
I hate this fucking place.
I do that every day. But yeah, like, do you ever, like, man, I went through all that work and I'm unhappy. But it doesn't look like you're unhappy. Like, I mean, like, yeah, like, you have your bad days, but then at the end of the day, you look at your bank account and you're like, okay, I'm happy.
You know? Well, yeah, money's one thing. I don't regret choosing nursing. I'm good at it. I know that. And that's something, you like to be good at what you're doing.
Yeah.
I've gotten a shit ton of kudos. I've never had a patient complaint. That kind of stuff I take pride in. And I do, like, I mean, like, today, you know, like, I took care of someone who, you know, without giving up too much information, could not do anything for themselves, you know, yeah. And I have to do everything, and they're not really responsive. They may not know what you're doing, but you know what you're doing. And
yeah,
I
think, like, you know that you're helping them.
I think of that, and I look at them, and my heart is full. So with that in mind, I think I chose the right career. Like, if yeah. you have actual enjoyment, and you feel it in your heart and your soul, and you like what you're doing for these people, then yeah, nursing is great. If you're getting into the money, you're making a fucking mistake. Yeah. It ain't that much money, you know. Like, if you yeah. want money in like that, and
I
you
feel like
do
you get paid
happy,
for what you do. I mean, like, really, yeah. like, that's like one job that you actually get paid for what you do.
Depending on the hospital, like, I think that how
well, like,
hard
you have a humongous load. You have yeah. a humongous load because like, I from what you say, when you come home, like, you guys don't hire enough.
No,
people.
No, we're
way over. You know, yeah, well, like, understaffed.
Yeah, we're understaffed for sure, and a lot of hospitals are, but we're understaffed to the point where it's normal sometimes when the hospital's full to get 7 patients. And to put it in perspective for no one that knows shit about nursing, 7 patients is absurd. 6 yeah. is borderline absurd.
Well,
already,
like you can be stuck helping a patient for almost an hour.
Oh yeah, I mean think of it this way. Think of when you had your chest tube. And yeah. they had to come into his site care, give you pain medicine,
a long time.
Hang IV fluids.
I call that lady so much. I yeah, probably annoy the shit out
yeah,
of her.
Yeah, they're in the room every couple hours giving yeah. you something. And when they're in there for 10, 15 minutes.
I mean, it's not the patient's
minutes.
Fault. I mean, you know.
And it's like, okay, so it's not. And you think of this. So put it in perspective. You say you spend 10 minutes each time you're in someone's room, which is about average what you're going to spend, the minimum. You go in there 10 minutes. If you've got 6 patients, you're going to see every person in 1 hour, 10 minutes apiece, and you've got to make rounds on them every hour.
And there's 7 patients, so you only get to see 6 in an hour.
Yeah, so it's like if you've got 7 and the hospital's jam-packed full and you don't have the staff.
And you still got paperwork. You still got paperwork to do.
I got a chart, and charting is law. You know, like if I don't chart, I go to court. And
this dude gets off at what, like 6?
Oh, well, no, I get off later than that. I get in, I have to go in.
Well, no, like what time are you supposed to get off?
Well, clock in at 6:30, clock out at 6:30.
Yeah, this dude gets home at like 9 o'clock.
Yeah, most days, you know?
Yeah.
So I clock, usually, the earliest I clock out, it's usually 7:15, 7:30, which is already almost an hour, if not an hour, after my shift's supposed to be done. And then I got to drive almost an hour home. So,
yeah,
you know, and then it's like, if I do have a long night, then I'm going to be getting home really fucking late.
Yeah.
I've gotten home later than this before. And it's already 9:30.
Yeah, and then, like, the only time you got time for is to go to bed.
Yeah, because if I got to work the next day, then I just got to go straight to sleep and get up at 5 in the morning to get ready for work. Because I got to drive almost an hour there. So, and they're 12-hour shifts, which people don't understand, you know. I guess my biggest thing in nursing that I don't like is that I don't think people have perspective on what a good nurse is. You know, people expect a nurse to just be hand and foot all the time at your will. And that's not reasonable. If you're in the hospital, that is not reasonable.
Well, like you've told me, people look at the hospital as like a hotel stay. You know, like they're not looking to get taken care of. They're looking to be comfortable.
And pampered. And the thing is, you know, as a patient, you do deserve to be treated kindly, with respect, and be given good care. That is true. But when you have people coming up to the desk asking for 3 vanilla ice creams and then call you in 5 minutes and say they want graham crackers, I'm not a fucking waitress. I'm not a waiter. I have to give people pain medicine.
But like, don't you think that they should have some other people for that? Like there should be a whole, like, there is a food department. Like, why don't they take care of that?
Well, there is, but you also have CNAs. But you got to think, when you have 36 bed unit, so if we've got 4 nurses on the floor, we're at least going to have 24 patients as usually our max. They'll try to cut you off at 24, so everyone has maximum 6 apiece. Then you'll have 2 techs. So they've got 12 patients apiece. Those are CNAs, for those who don't know. And they're getting vital signs, taking people to the bathroom, changing people, getting them new linen, you know, getting them refreshments, whatever they need, filling their ice water, whatever the fuck they need, they're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm coming behind them, hanging IV antibiotics, hanging IV fluids, giving pain medicine, doing assessments, you know, helping with turns, you know, helping with wound care. It's so much work that it's almost impossible, even with an assistant, to get it all done.
See, but
it's so hard.
I feel like me and you are the type of people, I don't know, like, I feel like this at work. Like, if someone else is supposed to be doing their job, but they're not, you're not going to take it up with them. You're just going to put it on yourself and be like, okay, I'll just do it myself.
I do it all the time because I don't have time.
Yeah.
In my head, it's going to take me more time to chase them down to get them to do their fucking job.
Yeah.
Than to just, you know, bitch about it in my head and do it my fucking self, because I know I'll do it right and I'll just go ahead and do it while I'm here.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not above that. That's another thing, is some nurses are above helping the nursing assistants. You know, I was a nursing assistant for 2 years, so I know how hard it can be to have a lot of patients and have grandma and room 8 and grandpa in room 22 all need to go to the bathroom at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, and then they get pissed when you're not there in 5 minutes. But that's another thing, that going back to what I say, people just want to be pampered. They don't understand that you can't do everything at once. You know, you have to remember, when you're in the hospital, as sick as you are and as much as you need, you also got to understand other people need that too. You know, the lady next
door
to you.
It's a hospital. You're not the only one in there.
Yeah, the lady next door to you may need just as much, if not more, than you do.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes I'll have 3 people at the same time all requesting pain medicine. So I get to one, I get to the second one. By the time I'm in the second one's room, the third one that I haven't gotten to yet is calling the nurse's station because it's been 10 minutes. 10 minutes, mind you. That's only 10 minutes. Complaining, the nurse is supposed to be in here with my pain medicine. I called 10 minutes ago. Yeah, 10 minutes ago.
Be patient.
Be patient.
You are a patient.
Because
be patient.
Yeah. Learn the fucking term you live by. And it's just, it's kind of, that kind of stuff will tires you out mentally a little bit. That's why I value my days off highly. So when I go back, I'm in a good mood. You know, I come back and I want to do what I got to do. And when it's over, get a few days off, whatever, you know, yeah. and recoup. So I like what I do. I think I made the right choice. Schooling sucked dick, you know, working full time and...
Yeah, I don't feel like you had the college experience at all.
Oh, no.
Like, considering you went to FSU, yeah. a big, you know...
Party, university, too. Yeah, we're on, I mean, like, one of the I top lists stayed, for party school.
I would have
like,
stayed fucking lit at that place.
Well,
but then again, you couldn't because you had to stay focused.
Yeah, I had to pay bills, too.
Yeah, you had bills.
I had
bills.
A car payment, car insurance. You know, I paid for so much on my own, my rent and everything. You know, mom and dad couldn't help me. So, yeah. Which I'm not blaming them for, but... Definitely something I want to do if I ever have kids is make sure they don't have to struggle like that.
Yeah.
And I didn't really get to that with the last semester. And the only reason I stopped working then was because I literally was about on the verge of a mental breakdown. I couldn't handle it all
anymore. Yeah, but it's not like you could. I mean, you had to take out a loan.
Yeah. Oh, so. Yeah. A fat one. So yeah. For one semester. So imagine if I just took out loans for the whole college experience.
Yeah, you would have been.
I'd be drowning in debt. So I didn't really have a choice.
Yeah, so how was your debt like right now?
I mean, without putting exact numbers out there, probably 20 to 30, somewhere around that ballpark.
Damn.
You know, and that's with working full time.
And that's with, like, a scholarship.
And with scholarships and with a little financial aid, not very much. Yeah, and I still came out that deep in the hole. I mean, you know, without kids and family and stuff like that, I mean, I can pay that off pretty easily over time, but it still sucks major, so.
Yeah.
But I guess that's the one part that I hated about going to college, of course, was that the loan and the money part. But it definitely is not underrated, like some people make it out to be. You know, if you get a good education, I think it's overrated if you're going to go to get a fucking musical degree that you know is going to pay you $10 and then bitch about your loans that are 50 yeah. grand. Yeah. You know, I mean, if you're going to choose to do that, you know the price. That's my opinion. You don't want to do something that requires 18 years of school, well then go to vocational school, get a trade that pays a shit ton of money.
Yeah, I feel like people like less. I feel like people like undermine the vocational schools.
They really do.
Because there's so much money to be made in
trade
in hard labor. I mean, it's hard labor, but you get paid for what you do. Like I know people who
there's people that make more money than I do that went to trade school, you know. But that's what they wanted to do. I don't want to do that, you know. So I think, you know, you pick your poison almost if you're going to look at it that way.
Yeah.
But I don't regret it. I don't at all.
Well, I think that's going to wrap up this podcast. I think it was a pretty good podcast for the first episode. But thanks for being my first guest, my brother. And very interesting. So maybe we'll have you back on another. Maybe I'll come to Colorado when you move there. Do a Colorado special. That sounds like a fucking plan. Anyways,
we'll be high when we do it.
Heck yeah,
it's legal.
Heck yeah, we'll get some like moon rocks or something over there, some edibles. But all right, yeah. But thanks for listening. If you tuned in and stay tuned for next week. I think I'll probably be doing two episodes next week because I got two guests that want to come on. Actually, I may have three episodes next week. I don't know. It depends what my schedule is and what theirs is. So, but thanks for stopping by and listening, and I hope you guys enjoyed. Stay tuned for next week.